Hello, and welcome to another episode of Clark Hill's Credit Eco to Go, Curbside Thought Leadership for Financial Services. My name is Joanne Needleman, and I am a partner at Clark Hill, as well as a member of the firm's Banking and Financial Services Practice Group. My guest today is Amy Traub, Associate Director of Policy and Research at DEMOS, a nonprofit public policy organization. Amy has a longtime research focus on consumer debt, credit reporting, and racial wealth disparities. Her proposal for establishing a public credit registry was recently adopted by Joe Biden's presidential campaign. Her report, Discrediting America, documented the way credit reports and scores are experiencing mission creep, increasingly being used by insurance companies, employers, utilities, and hospitals for a variety of economic decisions, even as the credit reporting system falls short on basic goals of fairness and accuracy. Her study discredited how employment credit checks keep qualified workers out of a job was the first to quantify the impact of credit checks on job seekers. She has presented expert testimony on employment credit checks to legislators in Colorado, Vermont, New York, and before the United States Congress. Amy, thank you so much for coming on to Credit Eco to Go, and I really look forward to this conversation today.
I'm looking forward to it as well. Thanks for having me, Joanne.
Absolutely. So, you know, I read a lot about this idea of a public credit reporting option, I'm going to call it. And I wanted to have you come on because I'll be really candid. I'm in industry, and I've been in industry for a really long time. And, you know, the last thing that I would think about would be a public credit reporting system. So I am really want to get your perspective of why you think credit reporting should be done by the government.
Yes, well, I can appreciate your perspective. I'm coming to this question from a consumer perspective, and it's clear that our private credit reporting system is really failing American consumers. You look at almost any issue, whether it's the accuracy of credit scores, the ability to get disputes resolved, accountability of credit reporting agencies to consumers, or the security of personal financial data, the system is just not serving American consumers. And there's no way for ordinary people to opt out. So I think that we can take a step back and recognize that credit reporting is part of the essential infrastructure of our financial system. Consumers have no choice but to rely on TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian if they ever want to buy a car, have a credit card, start a small business, get a home loan, in some cases rent an apartment, get auto insurance, or get a job. Credit is just this tremendously important gateway to participation in our economy, and these private companies have consumers at their mercy. They have arbitrary, unaccountable power over all of our financial destinies. And so the public credit registry idea, the reason it should be public is because it recognizes that credit reporting is infrastructure and calls for public accountability and ownership over that, what really is public infrastructure. We need a system that has the public interest, the interests of American consumers, at its heart as the starting point. And the public credit registry, as I've designed it, rebuilds the system, the credit reporting system, with robust mechanisms for accountability, transparency, accuracy, and security.
So I want to talk about those, but, you know, I guess I love the perspective and where you're coming from, because I think there's a couple things we can agree on. Number one, I do think it's unfair. Definitely. And I think that needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
I also think that it is this Herculean giant, I don't know what to call it, but I don't know how it works. And I don't think anybody knows how it works. And I've got good credit. So, and I've worked hard to establish good credit, but I have no idea why a payment one day and a payment next week can affect my credit score or a failure to make a payment. So there's a lot of unknowns there. I agree with you. But, You know, I guess my most basic question, and coming from, as I said, a perspective where, not that I don't mistrust government, but this is not a small undertaking by any stretch of the imagination. And it's certainly something that affects everybody. It's kind of like the IRS for the most part. Everybody, you know, everyone at some point, the majority of Americans touch the IRS in some way, shape, or form. And you and I both know if we have a problem with the IRS, really hard to get a hold of them, figure out what to do. You unfortunately have to hire an accountant to do that. So why, and maybe that goes into the question of what you just said, talking about the infrastructure, why would, other than the equities of it, operationally, administratively, how would having a public option be better?
Yeah, well, one thing, I think maybe we can also agree that the IRS could certainly be improved in terms of how it interfaces and connects with taxpayers and really making the public investments to make the IRS user-friendly. That would be another great idea.
Yeah, I hear on that one.
But in terms of the difficulties of connecting with them, I think we also have to think about what happens if there's an error in your credit report right now. Mm-hmm. It's probably more fun to talk to the IRS than to try to get TransUnion to fix that error.
I think that's a race to the bottom there, Amy, so I'm not quite sure. I think those are both difficult. So let's talk about, so I think philosophically, I don't think you're off base, you know, of what the credit reporting system is and what it means to so many people and how it impacts so many people. So let's get into the nitty gritty. Let's talk about the infrastructure. What do you foresee how this can be accomplished?
Yeah, well, the plan is that the public credit registry will be housed within the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and will gradually replace the for-profit corporate credit reporting system we have now. And I can talk a bit more later maybe about what that transition might look like.
Yes, let's definitely do that. But let's talk for right now, the here and now, of what the organization would look like.
So one big difference over the current system will be transparency. Okay. Right now, credit reporting algorithms, you mentioned you don't know what a payment today will mean versus making that payment a week later. That's because the credit reporting algorithms are trade secrets of the private companies. Under the public credit registry, the algorithms used to determine credit worthiness will be publicly available with clear explanations of what consumers can do to improve their credit. And credit reports and scores will be free to consumers at any time. What's more, the public credit registry will go beyond that transparency to really fulfill the CFPB's mission of educating consumers about credit products and how to develop and maintain a good credit score. This is, you know, there's no reason that there should have to be mystery around this. The public credit registry will also provide free or low-cost credit counseling and credit rehabilitation services, and that could be delivered through contracts with licensed nonprofit organizations, some of which already provide these services.
No, you continue. I thought you were done with your point. You continue.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about another central issue that we really want the public credit registry to address. And that is the reality that our country is having a long overdue reckoning with racial inequality and racial injustice right now. And I think we can look at the role of credit reporting in reinforcing racial disparities as well. You know, credit reports don't explicitly take race into account, but we need to acknowledge that consumers' borrowing and repayment behavior today is actually shaped by the legacy of centuries of discrimination. That history shows up in our credit scores. And so the public credit registry will recognize this legacy of injustice and prioritize equity in credit reporting. And in terms of what that looks like, one way that can show up is in studying new algorithms for predicting creditworthiness with a real goal of minimizing disparate racial impact. Lenders rely on the credit reporting system to understand who's a good credit risk. That remains very important. Everyone has an interest in credit scores and reports being predictive. but we want a system that accurately portrays risk in a way that's also fair to consumers and minimizes as much as possible this legacy of racial injustice.
Yeah, you know, wow. I think your last point, we can agree on that. There is inequalities in credit based on race, based on gender, based on socioeconomic. So I would agree with you there. It is just it's a Herculean project, definitely. Do you see possibly some sort of public-private partnership in this? Because, I mean, as you can imagine, this is not something where you can flip a switch.
Yeah.
By no stretch of the imagination, just on the size of the country and the people who are credit reporting, and to your point, you know, financial institutions that rely on this information because they need to for safety and soundness in their own infrastructures, but just generally in making, you know, good credit decisions. And when you talk about developing new algorithms, you know, there are plenty of brilliant people. I know at the CFPB and who worked at federal agencies, but there also are brilliant people who work in the private sector. Can you foresee a way that there would be some partnerships in this to help move this along?
You know, there's a lot of brilliance in a lot of places. I think that a key to getting the outcomes that we want is really putting the public interest at the center, not the desire to protect trade secrets and make a profit off of our credit information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we see is really the credit reporting agencies playing a public role as part of our vital infrastructure, but without the public accountability. Mm-hmm. And the central idea of having a public credit registry is that we then get that accountability.
So you don't see as, again, my perspective of being in industry and representing clients who are both data furnishers and who are credit reporting agencies, you know, that oversight and accountability we see in a lot of ways. We clearly see it from the CFPB, who has authority to regulate and supervise and enforce the Fair Credit Reporting Act. We see it in a lot of states. I think Massachusetts is an excellent example. And we see it in the private space with private right of actions. Do you think that the combination of what I've just talked about is still not enough to get the credit reporting industry in a place where you see would be more effective?
Yeah, I don't think it's enough. I think that, you know, certainly could we improve this failing system by simply strengthening the Fair Credit Reporting Act, having stronger regulation of credit reporting agencies? Certainly it could get better than it is now. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, it's a public, part of our public infrastructure. And to have a real solution, we need to be putting the public interest at the center of credit reporting.
Fair enough. So let's get a little bit into the nitty-gritty of this. As you know, the Fair Credit Reporting Act has a whole dispute mechanism within it. Would the CFPB then be tasked of doing and investigating disputes?
I'm so glad you asked this, because that is a key aspect of having an accountable system.
Okay.
Under our plan, the furnishers will be held accountable for providing accurate information. And the CFPB will impose fines on furnishers that are found to consistently furnish inaccurate or incomplete information. At the same time, the public credit registry itself needs to use the most robust methods available to ensure that credit information is accurate and to avoid mixed files. And remember, this is a consumer-centered system. Mm-hmm. Consumers will have a right to dispute inaccurate information on their credit report, and they will get free copies of any documents that are being used by the public credit registry to ascertain the accuracy of a disputed trade line. Consumers will have the right to appeal the results of a dispute and to provide additional evidence. So this is a real robust dispute resolution system that's lacking today. I think we can agree on that too. And I know that your listeners will be interested in this part. As a last resort, consumers will have the right to sue the public credit registry itself for failure to fulfill its responsibilities.
That is going to be, that will certainly get people listening to this, I will tell you that. But, I think what that will look like and how that will work, I think that in fairness, that makes sense, because data furnishers and credit reporting agencies certainly have been subject to an onslaught, I would say, of private rights of action and private claims and class actions. I worry that opportunistic attorneys and even consumers who we see now using the legal system for, in some instances, not all, but in some instances, cases that should not be there. I would hate to see the public registry be overwhelmed in situations of lawsuits, and that could easily happen. So I think it's an interesting point, and certainly more that needs to be talked through. And I'd be interested to hear the Bureau's perspective on that. Not many people have sued the Bureau. Sue them for some interesting things, but not for this, that's for sure. So, Amy, let me ask you this. You talked about accuracy, and I understand it'll be certainly the intent of the public registry to maintain accurate information and demand that accurate information be provided to them in order to serve consumers and report about credit information. But let's talk about integrity. How will the public registry tell the public about how they are maintaining this information? Will it be through supervisory reports? Will it be through guidance? I'm interested in how that communication and how that transparency will be articulated, I should say.
Yeah, I think that periodic reports to the public make a lot of sense. The other part of transparency is transparency of the algorithms and decision making that go into determining credit scores. Mm-hmm. Another part of this question, I think, gets really at security as well as integrity. We've certainly seen these massive credit reporting data breaches. Right. And of course, no data of any kind, electronic data, is 100% secure. The public credit registry's ultimate accountability to American consumers will provide a greater incentive to enhance data security compared to the private credit reporting agencies now, which have not faced very heavy consequences for the data breaches we've seen, certainly on the scale that data breaches have occurred. The government already has extensive personal financial information through the Internal Revenue Service. So when people say, oh, could I trust the government with my borrowing and payment history, with my credit history, look at the kind of files that the IRS has. And they have a really strong record of data security. Not perfect, because nothing is, but compared to private industry, I think that's a pretty strong record. And as an additional safeguard against fraud and identity theft, all personal credit information in the public credit registry would be frozen by default. So prospective lenders would not be able to access consumer credit data without prior authorization from consumers. There wouldn't be a charge, of course, for removing credit freezes or placing a new one.
Do you have any idea what you're really talking is building a database, which is enormous. Can you envision what would be required to do that? And I'm going to throw a question and you may not have the answer to.
Sure.
I think it's a valid one. What would something like this cost?
You know, I have to expect that question, and I have to tell you, Joanne, that we are not at the phase yet where we are costing this out. But, no one would portray this as an inexpensive proposition. We are talking about a major piece of our financial infrastructure that's currently privately controlled, that would become controlled by the people, essentially. would become public. And so that's never an inexpensive proposition, but I think that it would be worth it.
You know, it's really fascinating. You have to admit, Amy, there are many people out there that distrust government, good, bad, or indifferent. And it's going to be an interesting balancing act, because you're right. It really is the oil change of the financial services system. And you know, this podcast is about, we all live in a credit ecosystem. And boy, oh boy, does credit reporting really touch every aspect of financial services, and is, you know, sometimes I would say, you know, a necessary evil that you have to have. There has to be some sort of information that is dispersed between consumers and lenders to determine, you know, how money is lent, and we need this. But it is, it's going to be an interesting discussion. And I think what's going to be interesting is how it will evolve. I mean, I think that you're starting from the most perfect, obviously, you know, the most grandiose project, because you've got to make sure all the key points are there, and I completely get that. But it is going to be interesting, because there's been other areas where, you know, there have been proposals and people have, you know, not given it much mind, but aspects of them come out and it changes behavior. So I'm so interested to see, based on what you've put here, how behavior can be changed just by this discussion. And I think it's really important. So I applaud you. You certainly have put a lot of time and effort into this and have thought this through very well. And I appreciate you coming onto the podcast and talking to someone like me about it. I was willing to not toss it aside because I wanted to get in more information, and you really have given it. Is there anything that I have missed and not touched on that I think would be important for our listeners to know?
Joanne, I just really appreciate you giving me the time to lay out this idea. I agree, it's a big undertaking, and it's a new idea. And thank you to you and to your listeners for thinking about what this might mean and what the role really is that credit plays in all of our lives, and why it should be, at least entertaining the idea that it should be a public function.
I think you make a good point there, and that understanding what the role of credit should be and how that is achieved. So again, thanks so much. So, but before I let you go, we do a couple of things here on the podcast that I ask all my guests, and I want you to hopefully play along as well. So the first thing is, this is a to-go podcast. We want people to listen to these podcasts while they're jogging and download them when it's convenient for them. But I developed this podcast because for the last 6 months, we've all been home. And I know you live in New York City, and that's been an area that's been really difficult in trying to come out of the pandemic. And so I ask all my guests, if you could share some sort of to-go experience or some experience that you had while you were sheltering in place.
Yes. Well, since the pandemic started, I have been indoors with my kids for a lot of the day. And we actually had some fun playing video games together.
Oh, that's great.
I have a son in high school, and we've been playing Civilization, taking over continents and winning some diplomatic victories together. And then I've got a much younger kid, and I was able to find a classic video game that I used to play as a kid. It's the 1984 adventure King's Quest. I don't know if any of your listeners used to play that when they were growing up, but I'm saving the Kingdom of Daventry with my little guy, and I feel really lucky to have two boys who still think it's fun to play with mom.
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah, well, you know, as long as you don't do like Fortnite or any of those crazy ones that my son does. So this seems to have a little bit more intellectual depth to it. So good for you. Maybe your sons will go into politics and or city planning, one or the other.
Or law.
Or law, yes. And finally, Amy, at Credit Eco2Go, because we are doing this podcast in the middle of a pandemic, and there are lots of people, you know, as much as we're all sitting at home, I think we're all, you and I are fortunate. We have our health, we have our kids, and we're able to do our work. but as you know, many are not. So in consideration of you coming onto the podcast and having this wonderful discussion with me, Credit Ego2Go would like to make a small donation on your behalf to an organization that you can identify. And I'm hoping you have one that you can tell our listeners about.
Yes, and I think this is such a great practice, Joanne. I really appreciate it. Sure. You mentioned I'm a New Yorker. I live way at the top of Manhattan. And one organization that's close to my heart is the Northern Manhattan Coalition for Immigrant Rights. They have an emergency fund for local immigrant families who have been excluded from federal relief programs. So that's my pick.
Wonderful, wonderful choice. It's been so interesting to hear people's choices, and they're all so targeted, not only to this pandemic, but in helping certain groups who have really been impacted by it. So excellent choice, and we are more than happy to make that donation. So Amy, again, really a pleasure and an honor to talk to you about this. I really hope maybe after November, we can have even a broader discussion about this. As I mentioned in the intro, I know the Biden campaign is looking at this very carefully. I think this is going to be a hot topic for next year, and I'd love to have you come back on and see how the topic is developing. So thank you again, and thanks to all of our loyal Credit Ego2Go listeners for tuning in and logging on. All episodes of Credit Ego2Go can be found on Buzzsprout and Spotify. Information on our podcast can also be found on my clarkhill.com bio page, as well as on my LinkedIn page. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or have ideas for future show topics, please email us at creditego2go@clarkhill.com. Thank you, be well, and stay safe.
This podcast is intended for general education and informational purposes only, and should not be regarded as either legal advice or a legal opinion. You should not act upon or use this publication or any of its contents for any specific situation. Recipients are cautioned to obtain legal advice from their legal counsel with respect to any decision or course of action contemplated in a specific situation. Clark Hill PLC and its attorneys provide legal advice only after establishing an attorney-client relationship through a written attorney-client engagement agreement. This recording does not establish an attorney-client relationship with any recipient.